everyone. You know, we've all seen those headlines lately about food prices going up and up.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Well, on this deep dive, we're taking a closer look at how all this is impacting the people who actually grow our food, the farmers.
Right.
We're going to explore why so many farmers around the world are struggling to make ends meet, even though they're the ones feeding the entire planet.
It really is a global issue.
And hopefully we can uncover some ideas for creating a fairer food system for everyone.
Definitely. It's something that needs attention.
So our sources this week are pretty diverse. We've got reports from agricultural organizations, articles from both left-leaning and right-leaning news outlets, even some personal accounts from farmers themselves.
A really good mix.
Yeah. And one thing that really stood out to me was this comparison that kept popping up. They kept saying that the relationship between farmers and supermarkets is like a David and Goliath situation.
Interesting. I can see why they'd say that.
Yeah, and that kind of sets the stage for what we're going to be digging into.
Okay, I'm ready to dig in.
So first up, let's talk about those rising costs that are hitting farmers so hard. It seems like the price of everything is going up these days. Fertilizers, fuel, seeds, equipment, you name it.
It's true. It's like a perfect storm of factors all coming together at the same time.
Yeah.
For instance, the conflict in Ukraine has disrupted fertilizer exports, which has had a huge ripple effect on global prices.
Yeah, I read that somewhere.
And then we've got all those supply chain issues that have been lingering since, well, you know.
Like when all that stuff got stuck on those container ships.
Exactly. And those disruptions have driven up transportation costs, which are already being impacted by rising fuel prices.
It's like everything's connected.
It really is. Everything's intertwined.
But here's what I don't get. If food prices are going up at the supermarket, shouldn't farmers be making more money too?
Logically, you'd think so, right?
Yeah. Shouldn't they be benefiting from those higher prices?
Well, in a perfect world, yes.
But it's not a perfect world.
Unfortunately not. The reality is that the prices farmers receive for their products are often set by a whole bunch of other players, the middlemen, the wholesalers, and especially those big supermarket chains.
So they're kind of at the mercy of those bigger forces.
Yeah, pretty much. They often have very little bargaining power when it comes to setting prices.
That doesn't seem very fair.
Yeah, it's a bit of a David and Goliath situation like we were talking about earlier.
Okay, so even when we're paying more for our groceries, the farmers who actually grew that food might not be seeing any of those profits.
Exactly. They might even be getting less.
That's wild.
And on top of that, farmers are also dealing with this thing called price volatility.
Price what now?
Volatility. It basically means that the prices of agricultural commodities, like wheat or coffee, can fluctuate wildly on the global market.
Oh, so like one day it's worth this much and the next day it's worth something completely different.
Exactly. And those swings can be really hard to predict and even harder to manage. Imagine being a wheat farmer, for example.
Okay, I'm imagining I'm a wheat farmer.
You've invested a ton of time and money into planting and harvesting your crop, but then the global price of wheat suddenly drops.
Oh no.
And through no fault of your own, you're suddenly selling your wheat at a loss.
That's rough.
Yeah, it can be devastating for farmers, especially in developing countries where they often lack access to things like crop insurance or government support.
So it's like they're constantly gambling on the global market.
In a way, yeah. And then to make things even more challenging, you've got the impact of climate change.
Oh, right. Climate change. It's kind of a big deal, isn't it?
Definitely a big deal.
Yeah.
And farmers are on the front lines of those impacts.
How so?
Well, think about it. They're entirely dependent on the weather for their livelihoods.
Yeah, that's true.
But with climate change, the weather is becoming increasingly unpredictable.
More droughts, more floods.
Exactly. More extreme weather events of all kinds. And that's leading to crop failures, livestock losses, and all sorts of other challenges for farmers.
It's like they're being hit from all sides.
Pretty much. They're dealing with rising costs, unpredictable markets, and now a changing climate that's making it even harder to grow food.
Wow. So we've got these rising costs, unpredictable weather patterns, and a global market that doesn't always seem to work in their favor. All of that makes you wonder if farming isn't even providing a livable income, who's going to grow our food in the future?
It's a valid question. In some parts of the world, the average age of farmers is steadily increasing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, younger generations are seeing the struggles their parents and grandparents are facing and choosing to pursue other career paths.
I can see why.
So it's like this slow motion brain drain in agriculture.
Which is kind of scary when you think about it.
It is a little bit scary because we all need to eat, right?
Exactly. So what are governments doing to help? Are they providing enough support to the people who are literally keeping us alive?
Well, that's where things get even more complicated. Governments around the world do provide some support to farmers, but the question is it enough? And is it actually reaching the farmers who need it the most?
It sounds like there's a disconnect somewhere.
Yeah, and our sources suggest that there often is.
Okay, so let's dive into that a little deeper.
Sounds good to me.
Uh-huh.
So remember Dave, the hypothetical Aussie farmer we talked about? He's been growing veggies for years, all the good stuff like carrots and potatoes.
Right, Dave.
He always made a good living, but lately it's been a real struggle. Those rising costs we talked about, they're hitting him hard.
Like, how hard are we talking?
Well, his fuel costs are way up, fertilizer is harder to get a hold of, and even just finding people to work on the farm is a struggle.
Wow.
And the crazy thing is, our sources estimate his costs have jumped by like 30% in just a few years.
Ouch. That's gonna hurt. But he's selling all those veggies to a big supermarket chain, right? Can't he just raise his prices to cover those extra costs?
That's where things get a bit tricky. See, the supermarket he supplies to is also feeling the pressure from shoppers about rising food prices.
So what do they do?
They basically tell Dave he needs to lower his prices or they'll find someone else to supply their veggies.
Whoa, that's pretty harsh.
It is. It's a real power imbalance, you know?
Yeah.
They're using their market dominance to kind of bully smaller suppliers like Dave.
So if he lowers his prices, he's selling at a loss.
Right.
But if he refuses, he loses his biggest customer. That's a tough spot to be in.
Absolutely. And this isn't just happening to Dave. A lot of farmers all over the world are getting squeezed by these giant supermarket chains. One study we looked at, it actually found that in some cases, the supermarkets are making more profit from a head of lettuce than the farmer who grew it.
Seriously, that seems so backwards. But I guess the supermarkets would say they're just responding to what consumers want, cheaper food.
That's the argument you hear a lot, yeah. But I think it overlooks a few important points. First off, a lot of shoppers just aren't aware of what goes into getting that cheap food on the shelves. They don't see the struggles farmers face or how the environment is impacted by some farming practices.
So we're focused on getting a good deal without thinking about the bigger picture.
Yeah, pretty much. And the second thing is this constant pressure to lower prices, it can create a downward spiral. If farmers are always getting squeezed, they can't invest in their farms or try new, more sustainable ways of doing things.
So it actually hurts everyone in the long run.
Exactly.
So in this whole system, who are the real winners? It doesn't sound like the farmers are coming out on top.
Well, on the surface, it seems like the big supermarkets are the obvious winners, right? They get to keep their profits high, keep expanding, and they can offer lower prices to shoppers. But there are some other winners too, at least for now.
Who else?
Well, obviously, consumers benefit from cheaper food. And some of those middlemen, the wholesalers, might be profiting too.
But you said for now. What about the long term? Are we missing something here?
I think so, yeah. When farms start struggling, whole rural communities suffer. Local businesses lose customers, jobs disappear, and younger people often have to leave to find work.
It's like a domino effect.
Exactly. And then think about this. If we become too reliant on just a few big companies to control our food supply, what happens if something disrupts that system?
Like a pandemic or something.
Yeah.
Or some kind of natural disaster.
Right. And when those disruptions happen, we realize just how vulnerable we've become. We need a food system that's diverse and resilient, not controlled by a handful of companies focused on profits.
So maybe this whole cheap food thing isn't actually all that sustainable in the long run.
It's like building a house on a shaky foundation, you know?
Oh.
It might look good for a while, but it won't survive a storm.
Makes sense. And it sounds like Dave's story isn't just playing out in Australia. This is happening all over the globe, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Farmers in the U.S. are getting squeezed by companies like Walmart. In Europe, there have even been protests about unfair supermarket practices. And it's happening in developing countries, too.
So this whole cost of living crisis everyone's talking about, it's impacting farmers everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. We hear all this talk about consumers needing access to cheaper food. But what about farmers getting fair prices? Can we really have one without the other? That's the big question, isn't it? And I think it brings up a really important point. We can't just focus on lowering the price of food.
What do we need to focus on then?
We need to focus on creating a system that's fairer and more sustainable. A system that supports the farmers, benefits consumers, and protects the environment, all at the same time.
Okay, that makes sense. But how do we actually make that happen? It sounds like a pretty huge task.
It is a big task, no doubt about that. But I think it's definitely possible. We need a change in mindset, a willingness to challenge the way things are. And everyone has a role to play, governments, supermarkets, farmers, and everyday consumers.
All right, so let's break that down a bit. What can governments do to make things more fair?
Well, for starters, they need to create policies that genuinely support farmers. Not just those big agricultural companies, but the smaller farms too.
Okay, like what kind of policies?
Well, they can set minimum prices for certain crops, offer subsidies targeted at small and medium-sized farms, or invest in research to help farmers adapt to climate change. Things like that.
So it's not just about throwing money at the problem. It's about creating a system that really works for farmers in the long term.
Yeah, exactly. It's about better infrastructure, like transportation and storage, so farmers can get their produce to market. It's about training and education so they can learn new techniques, new technologies. And it's about things like crop insurance to help them through tough times.
So governments have to step up and support farmers in a more active way. But what about the big supermarkets? What can they do to be part of the solution?
Well, for one, they could stop squeezing farmers like Dave. It's not all about profit, right?
Yeah, easier said than done, I guess. I mean, how do you convince a giant corporation to prioritize fairness over their bottom line?
It's tough, no question. But I do think there's room for change. Consumers have a lot of power more than they realize.
Yeah. How so?
Well, we can start demanding more transparency from supermarkets. Like, how are they setting prices? Where are they getting their products from? Are they treating farmers ethically?
So we got to start asking those questions, putting the pressure on.
Exactly. We can choose to support businesses that are doing the right thing. You know, the ones that are treating their suppliers fairly and prioritizing sustainability.
Voting with our wallets, basically.
Yeah. And we can also push for stronger regulations, like laws that prevent those unfair buying practices we talked about.
So it's about holding them accountable, both with our spending habits and through our governments.
Exactly. It's a multi-pronged approach.
Okay, so we've talked about governments and supermarkets, but what about the farmers themselves? Is there anything they can do to get more leverage?
Well, one thing they can do is join forces. Cooperatives, for instance.
What are those exactly?
Basically, it's when a bunch of farmers team up, pool their resources, and work together.
Kind of like a farmers union.
In a way, yeah. It gives them more bargaining power when they're dealing with buyers, and they can get access to better resources and markets that way.
Right. Strength in numbers.
Precisely. And then there's technology, all these online platforms popping up that let farmers sell directly to consumers.
Oh, I've heard about those. You mean like those farm-to-table apps?
Exactly. Cutting out the middleman, giving farmers more control over their prices. It's exciting stuff.
It is. So governments need to support them, supermarkets need to play fair, and farmers need to band together and embrace new technologies.
That's a good summary. But let's not forget about us regular folks, the eaters. We have a huge role to play too.
Oh yeah, for sure. So what can we do as individuals to actually make a difference?
Well, the first step is just becoming more aware, like really thinking about where your food comes from and how it got to your plate.
Okay, so like actually reading those labels, doing a little research.
Exactly. Ask yourself, where was this grown? How was it produced? Did the people involved get treated fairly? And then use your buying power to support the good guys.
So choose local whenever possible.
Yes. And hit up those farmers markets, support businesses that are transparent about their sourcing practices, and look for those fair trade and sustainable labels.
It's all about making informed choices.
And it goes beyond just shopping. Educate yourself about the issues, support organizations that are fighting for a better food system, and talk to your friends and family about all this stuff.
So it's about raising awareness, getting people talking.
The more we demand a fairer, more sustainable system, the more likely we are to actually get it.
It's about collective action, realizing we're all part of this whole web of food and people and the planet.
Well said. And even those small individual actions, they can add up to create real change.
Like voting for a better future with every bite we take.
Love that. And you mentioned earlier that this is a global issue, right? So are there any solutions being explored on a global level?
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Are there any international efforts to address this?
There are some really promising initiatives. For example, a lot of people are working to make international trade more equitable.
Makes sense. So that trade agreements don't end up hurting local farmers.
Exactly. And they're also trying to address those agricultural subsidies that often benefit the big players and put smaller farmers at a disadvantage.
Creating a more level playing field for everyone.
That's the goal. And there's a lot of focus on development aid, helping those developing nations build stronger, more resilient food systems.
Okay, like sharing knowledge and technology, building infrastructure, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And it's all about recognizing that food security isn't just a local issue, it's a global challenge.
We all need to work together to find solutions.
And, you know, it's important to remember that all these issues, hunger, poverty, climate change, they're all intertwined.
It's complex, for sure.
It is. But I think that's also where the hope lies. When we start to see those connections, we can start working towards real systemic change.
A future where everyone has access to good food, where farmers are valued, and where our food system actually works with nature, not against it.
That's the dream.
So we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, the challenges farmers face, the role of supermarkets and governments, and what we can do as consumers to create a better food future. But before we wrap up, what's the one key message you want our listeners to take away from all of this?
Honestly, the thing that keeps sticking with me is this. If the people who grow our food are struggling to survive, can we really have affordable food without also having fair food?
It's like we can't have one without the other.
Exactly. And that's a conversation we need to be having, not just focusing on lowering prices, but making sure the whole system is just and equitable.
Shifting our perspective, asking different questions.
Right. So the next time you're at the grocery store, take a moment to think about the journey that food took to get there. Think about the people involved, the resources used. Ask yourself if you're supporting a system that aligns with your values.
Because every choice we make, every bite we take, it's a chance to create a better food future.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So to all our listeners out there, we encourage you to keep learning, keep asking those tough questions.
Yeah. And use your voices, use your choices to advocate for a better food system for everyone.
Because remember, you're not just a consumer, you're a change maker.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
We'll see you next time.